go grab our Bibles to Judges, Judges chapter 1. I entitled this sermon, Don't Quit Fighting. Don't Quit Fighting. The teen guys are like, ooh, sweet. Don't quit fighting, all right? Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1, just to kind of give you an introduction here, it says the greatest number of rounds in a fight was 276. It lasted 4 hours and 30 minutes. When Jack Jones beat Patsy Tooney in Cheshire in 1825, before the Queensberry rules were introduced in 1867, each round of a fight would last until someone was knocked down. At that point, the fighters would go back to their corners, and then the fight would start again. There was no time limit, nor was there any limit to the number of rounds. Because of this, many fights at this time would end in draws. Because you imagine, you know, both are tired. But that was the longest fight ever recorded. Let's look at Judges chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 21. If you're able to, please stand for the reading of God's word. It says in Judges 1, verse 21, it says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. Go to verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. That's a crazy name, Gezer. Hey, Gezer. All right, number 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acho, and nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Aleb, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwell among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth-Amath, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh and of Beth-Hana became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you please be with this message. May it stir our hearts. May it help us to do what's right. And may it convict us, may it stir our hearts. I pray that you'll please help me as I teach and preach, Lord, your word. I ask that you'll just bless this service, be with Pastor Reese as he's gone. Lord, be with his safety as he travels back. Lord, we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have a little more reading to do. Let's go to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Hopefully, this reading will help you kind of set the tone of what's going on. It says, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I make you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers, and said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Let's go to verse 12. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sent them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. And I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. I need to take another drink after all that reading, amen. Now, we just see here, just in this passage from Judges, you know the backstory, you know of Joshua conquering a lot of people in the land of Israel. Remember the first one to go down, Jericho, the walls fell down, and then Ai after that. Yes, Ai, there was a fall there, they lost men, but they eventually defeated them. If you look at Joshua chapter 12 in your Bibles, you will see all the kings they defeated. It's a big list, a long list of everyone that they defeated when they conquered the land of Canaan. However, we see that the Israelites only obeyed up to a point. You know, those 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, you would have thought they learned their lesson. Let's obey the Lord. Let's do what the Lord wants us to do. But unfortunately, they did not finish the job. We see the Israelites obey only up to a point, and we just read that they left people there. As I just read, you know, that they left these people here in the land. They left these people. They left these people in the land. They were told to utterly destroy them. Does it kind of sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? We think back with King Saul, the Amalekites. He was told to destroy the Amalekites. He did not completely destroy them. God called that disobedience. God called that disobedience. We're told in the Bible many times to fight the good fight, right? We're told to fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the what? The faith. As I watch Titus here, as he's come up, and we took a trip up here, I get to see him with his cousins for really the first time that he knows. And watching little kids, it's interesting, isn't it? You wonder what's going to happen. What are they going to do? If you're a boy, you already know what you're going to do. You're going to fight, right? You're going to beat each other up. You're going to test each other. You're going to push them. You're going to shove each other, you know? And I was like, good, good. At least I know he's a man, you know? He's gonna slap his cousins around. He's slapping Jackson around, and he's like, you know, a year younger than him. Like, that's not a good fight you want to pick, all right? But He inside of him, he's wanting to fight. Let me ask you, Christians, have you lost your fight? Have you lost your fight? I believe that the Israelites got to a point that they got tired of fighting. It doesn't really specifically say why they did not destroy these people. We think about it from when these kids were born, or when these 20-year-olds, from the time they were 20, 19, 18, to where they were now, all they've known is fighting. They fought their whole life. The Bible says not to be weary in what? Well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Bible has a lot to say about fighting, to carrying on, to persevering. And I believe that, unfortunately, as Christians, we can get tired of fighting. We can get tired of fighting. What do you mean? Like a physical fight? No, a spiritual fight. There's a spiritual fight that I believe that parents give up with their children. That a husband gives up with his wife. They're not willing to fight for those things that need to be fought for. Kind of like some of how the teen guys dress tonight. They just gave up fighting. Let's just put this on. I'm just kidding, guys. You guys look sharp. Very good. Handsome young men, one day. You know, being involved in youth ministry, I get to see more and more of, and this is just the truth, just to let you parents see, if your child's ever in ministry, they'll understand this, that when you are in ministry, full-time ministry, you get to see, I don't know how to explain it, a deacon explained it to me this way. He said that when you're on staff, you get hired, you get to see directly into that home. Whereas an outsider, you don't get to see all that. So being on staff, I get to see what's really going on. I can see the teenager and you know, their how they deal with situations, and I can't blame that all on the parents. But I can have a window inside to see what that home may be like. It's encouraging to see a family where a dad has convictions and standards for the home, a plumb line that is set that will not be wavered. However, unfortunately, across the United States, I see parents, teachers, bus workers losing their fight. There used to be a steadfast in Christians, but now if our daughter wants to wear something too tight of a shirt, we try to reason with her. Now, don't get me wrong, you're not fighting your daughter in that situation. You're fighting the carnality in the home that's trying to creep in. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We know that. We don't battle each other, but we do fight against Satan and his forces. Number one, how can we continue fighting? How can we keep on fighting? How did the Israelites, how did they fall? What can we do to correct that? Number one, we fight in our youth. Fight in your youth. If you're taking notes, fight in your youth. David in the Bible. I love David in the Bible. I was named after him, so he's a great guy. Amen? Although he did mess up, so I guess I should have been called Daniel, where he didn't mess up. Right? Or just name your kid Titus, I guess. David killed a bear. Amen? How many of you have killed a bear yet? Not in a video game, guys, okay? Or Cabela's hunting. Like, I seen a dead bear before. That doesn't count. David learned how to play an instrument, and he did it so proficiently, he actually was able to do it before the king of the land. David killed Goliath in his youth. He did these things in his youth. And young person, if you're ever going to amount for anything, you've got to fight in your youth. You have to fight in your youth. There are people in this pew here still after 30, 40, 50 years because they fought in their youth. They fought in their youth. Hey, guess what? My parents fought for me in their youth. Guess what I had to do? I had to fight in my youth. Now, as a teenager, some of those battles were already fought for me. I didn't have to fight the battle of alcoholism in my house. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. I didn't have to fight that battle. I feel for the ones that do. I feel for them. But I didn't have to fight that battle. Fight in your youth. However, what happened to David as he got older? You don't have to turn here, but 2 Samuel 21:15 says this: Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. You know, the younger you are, the less it seems like you're afraid of the fight. Amen? As you get older, you cannot, however, fight the battles you used to. You just lack the strength. You know, some of you might be getting to that age where you just can't do the things that you used to do. And if you try it, you suffer. A week in bed. You just can't. I can't do everything I used to. I just can't. But I can do things. I still can fight some. And I still can fight. You know, I think that as you become a parent, you start to understand this a little better. You think I understand this with having three siblings. My mom, you know, there was my sister, then my older brother, and then me, and then my younger brother. You know, your first kid, it seems like, you know, you want to be the harshest on them, right? I mean, they get the harshest punishment because you have all the strength then, right? Until your third kid rolls out or your fourth kid, then you just wear you down. I mean, those 100 whoopings you gave your first kids are just 10 little love taps to your last one, right? I've seen it. That's why they call it, you know, oh, you're the baby in the family, get babied. It's true. They do. My brother got, I mean, no, this is not time to rant there. But you do, you get tired. You get tired. And they get tired of doing what's right. You know, after a while, there's some, I see it. You see it around the country. You see veteran preachers preaching, getting tired. Getting tired of the battles, getting wore out. You think of the old men of faith. You think of a Tom Malone. You think of the people that had to fight to keep, I think of the one who owned the children's homes. I can't remember his name now. It's Brother Woloff, having the battles that he went through. Getting tired of fighting. Have you gotten tired of fighting, Christian? Have you got tired of fighting? Have you got tired of fighting that bad spirit in your teenager? That bad spirit in your children? Have you got tired of fighting? You're just sick and tired of fighting. You just can't do it anymore. Fight in your youth. Fight in your youth. Hey, encourage our youth to fight. Encourage them. Hey, keep on going. Hey, thank you for dressing the way you do, ladies. Hey, guys, thank you for keeping a sharp haircut. Thank you, guys. Keep fighting, because guess what? Everybody out there, they have a mop on their head. That's just the truth. It's sad that our gentlemen can't look like gentlemen and our ladies can't look like ladies. But they can hear. And they won't be looked down upon. Fight as a team. Parents, you don't fight your teen, you fight alongside them. You know what? When you start spanking that kid when they're 2, you shouldn't have to when they're 20. Okay? You shouldn't have to battle them when they're 20. If you start disciplining them when they're young, guess what? You're not going to have to fight those battles when they're older. Fight in your youth. As a teenager, you should have already fought some battles for Christ. You should have already been made fun of. Well, Brother Dave, I don't have any battles. I don't know. You haven't been fighting. As a teenager, I grew up in a Christian home, and guess what? There were some teens my age that I had to look at and really just separate friendship with. Oh, I can't do that. Adults? Uh-oh. I better hide behind the pulpit for this one. Who are your friends? Have you fought for the right friendships? Guess what? The millennials? I love preaching to my age group because I kind of know what they're going through. More and more do I hear more millennials not asking the older generation. They're asking each other how to parent. That was free. You don't ask people your age for advice. We already saw that with Rehoboam in the Bible. We saw what happened. You don't ask the other teenager what he thinks about this standard or this standard in the Christian school. What do you think about it? Well, I think this. I have heard too many adults say that. They ask me, so what do you think, Brother Dave? I don't know what I think. I just go what the Bible says. You don't base it off of how you feel. You base it off of this book. Oh, my goodness. It's sad. You know, you have got to fight when you're young. Fight while you're young. Number one, fight in your youth. Number two, fighting brings peace. You're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Fighting brings peace. You know, when you deal with problems at an early age, they don't tend to grow up to be weeds. When you start picking those weeds, as Pastor was telling us Sunday night, you won't have to pull out the trimmer and hose down the weeds with the trimmer. You know, as a youth pastor, I get to see all types of teenagers. You know, every teen struggles with issues in life, but oh, the issues that could be dealt with if it was dealt with at an early age. You know, as I said before, I'm not tempted to fight some battles. My parents fought them for me. I go to a good church. My parents fought that battle for me. I know what Christ-honoring music is. My parents fought that battle for me. I know how to dress when I come to church. My parents fought that battle for me, and they taught me. You know, I don't have a second thought, you know, in some aspects when it comes to the friends I should have. My parents helped fight that battle with me. You don't argue with your teen. Let me help you here, parents. You don't argue with your teen or your children about what kind of friends they should have. You tell them what kind of friends they should have. That might make them mad. Yes, it will. Just like you don't being like told what to do behind the pulpit. It makes you mad sometimes, but you need it. We do. Everybody needs it. We do. We need it. I need it. I have to. And that's what makes us grow. That's what gives us peace. You know, if we don't fight, if we don't decide to fight in some areas, you know what happens is we lose that peace. And really what eventually happens is that we have heartache and bigger giants in the future. You know, I brought up David earlier in the Bible. Maybe let's do a little Bible quiz here. These guys look like bright, strapping young men. I don't know what that term strapping came from. I don't know what that means, but I just like saying it. Maybe one of the suspenders. I don't know. Nobody's wearing suspenders, so you're not strapping. All right. How many stones did David take in the brook? 5. Here's to the adults. Why did he take 5? 5 brothers. So he should have got 6. Yes, he had brothers. He had brothers that needed to be killed, right? Now, let me ask you this. Did David kill those brothers that same day? No. And when David waxed faint, who was he fighting? One of the giant's brothers. You know, when you don't decide to fight at an early age, you say, I'll just let this go. I'll just let this standard slip. Oh, well, my kids, they can do this. It'll be okay. It's fine. It'll grow up, and you will fight it one day. And when you fight it, it will be 10 times bigger than you can handle. That little rebellious spirit that your little child has just lost their job. Just when you don't tithe and you don't give what God tells you to give, you don't fight that battle, maybe you're wondering why your children struggle with finances, because you didn't fight that battle early on. That little lying tongue that your second grade boy has just taken him out of the ministry. That little streak of rebellion you let that daughter have has just cost her her marriage. Oh, that's not going to happen. Come on, really? I think we all could testify to that, that we know people that have gone through certain things, that if early on, if they would have corrected a character flaw, they would have never had that happen to them. You look back at those things that you've had to fight as an adult. Sometimes it's because you didn't battle when you were younger like you should have. Some people have bigger battles than others in other areas. Yes, that is true, but we all do battle, okay? It's not like, oh man, everything's just so well in their life. It's just a great life they have. I mean, they work on a turkey farm with a bunch of manure. Oh, I'd love to do that. I got to enjoy that today, amen? Trace back some of the struggles you deal with constantly. It's because you've never fought when you were younger. I think of a story, and this triggered my mind as I was preparing this message. I love World War II history. I just love it. I decorated my office in World War II history things. Just I got posters on there. I got a couple replica guns on the walls that I made in shop class as a teenager. Great. I definitely fought when I was younger. It was great. But you know, after the World War II, there was another war that happened, and that was the Korean War. The Korean War. In 1951, during the Korean War, President Truman fired General Douglas MacArthur, the general. He wanted to expand the war into China to drive the North Koreans further into China. Not willing to go war with China, President Truman fired MacArthur. And yes, at the time it seemed like not fighting was the best thing. But we cannot now send missionaries into China, which has 1.5 billion of the population of the earth, 1/5 of the world's population. North Korea now is a closed country filled with starvation and a lawless government that is based on fear. I wonder how things would have changed if we would have fought, if we would have decided to go in. I wonder about that. However, Japan is an open country. The Philippines, a huge open door to missions. We hear stories all the time about missionaries that go there winning thousands to the Lord because we chose to fight. We decided to fight. When MacArthur said, I will return, and he did. You have got to fight. I have seen so many my age just give up. They are leaving churches by the droves because they don't want to fight. I don't want to fight my children on this. I didn't really believe it when I was a child. I'm sick and tired of my age giving up on church, giving up on God, giving up on their spouse, giving up on ministry, giving up. Will you fight for this generation, young men, young ladies? Will you fight? My age, will you fight? Will you fight? Are you giving up an error? Are you letting down your guard? Are you letting down? Are you not fighting like you used to? oh man, when I was younger, I could fight all the day long. And you need to, because as you do get older, you will lose that fight. But that's why you train the next generation to fight. You train them to fight. You let them go through their battles. Yes, I did grow up in church, and praise the Lord I did, and I didn't have to fight some battles, but guess what I had to fight? Apathy, numbness to the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, here's the same message. Okay, we'll just get through it. Just figure out how many lights are in this light fixture. It's hard to count. It's like three-dimensional. Four, seven, I think. I don't know. I better figure that out quick because my math is coming up quick. Number one. You fight while you're younger. Fight while you're younger. Fight while you're younger, young men, young ladies. Fight while you're younger, adults, young adults. Don't quit fighting. Don't quit fighting. Number one is to fight while you're younger. Number two, don't get tired. Don't get tired of fighting. Number three, fight together. Fight together. When you see the children of Israel destroying the enemy completely, they're usually doing it together. See, as we just read the passage there, you see that the different tribes could not drive out the enemy by themselves. They couldn't do it by themselves, and they left them there. In Judges 1, we see each tribe not driving out the inhabitants separately. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We don't have to fight alone. God doesn't want us to fight alone. He doesn't want us to just pray alone. Yes, we do need to go into our closets to pray, especially for those things that you really can't tell anybody. What's wrong with praying with a brother or sister in Christ and sharing a need with them or praying for a certain situation? I saw that displayed when Pastor has a prayer partner that he sets each men with. I really always looked forward to praying with a young man in the church. That was biblical. That was the Bible. We don't have to fight alone. You know, bees, those things that go bzzz, it can show you something about teamwork. You know, on a warm day, about half the bees in a hive stay inside, beating their wings, while the other half go out to gather pollen and nectar. Because of the beating wings, the temperature inside the hive is about 10 degrees cooler than it is outside. The bees rotate duties, and the bees that cool the hive one day are honey gatherers the next. I've heard it often said that families that pray together stay together. There was always a time of prayer in our family. Always a time. Every night we had family devotions that we prayed as a family. And we always knew if our dad was really tired, because it would become his turn to pray and it would be really silent. So like, Dad, what's going on over there? Nudge him. Jesus, please help us. But you know what? I'll never forget those times that we prayed together as a family. We fought together as a family. And those times that we read the Bible together. I heard it on the radio maybe a year ago. Brother Treber out in California, he was talking to his son, and he's like, you know what, those family devotions, it seemed like, I don't know if it really helped. His son said, no, Dad, are you kidding me? That was some of the greatest things that we could have ever done together. It wasn't even about just reading the Bible. It wasn't about praying. It was doing it together as a family. It's sad to see that family dinners have ceased. No longer do families sit together around the table. It's now around the TV. You know, what's really sad is when a young person is a confused young person. They don't know what to expect out of mom and dad because mom and dad can't agree. See this too often, where mom wants, or dad, you know, he's upset because his son, you know, is because mom wants him to join this extracurricular art class, whatever. And dad's like, no, that'll make him a pansy. She's like, no, he needs to get in touch with his inner self. your inner self needs to die if that's the case. Just kidding, guys. You can draw. That's okay. All right. Just not with crayons anymore. All right. Parents, we have got to get on the same page. We have got to get on the same page. That's it. If mom and dad can be constant and consistent, consistent discipline, you say, Brother Dave, you don't know, you only have a two-year-old. Yes, partially right. I don't have the experience, but I do know the formula. I do know the formula. My parents have taught it to me. That's why I married that young lady there, because she was taught the formula too. Constant and consistent discipline, and also constant, consistent love. That's what it takes. You've got to be consistent. You've also have to be both on the same page. You can't have mommy pulling him here and then daddy pulling him here and then the church pulling him over here. Notice I said the church, pastor. Okay, you all should be in agreement. So many times have I seen, well, we don't believe that because we just believe this and pastor believes that. And okay, that's fine. I understand that. But can we not all just understand that we're going forward to the Lord and working together as a church? Well, I don't like it when pastor preaches about the haircuts, or Brother Dave, he mentioned art class, and I'm taking an art class. Not saying art classes are bad. If you're a girl. I know, believe me, I was subjected to an art class before. That's why I can preach on it. Amen? Get on the same page. You know, us young men, you know, when we're, you know, ready, you know, maybe dating or, you know, courting our wife, you know, before she becomes our wife, we think, man, I'm going to have 15 children. It's going to be great. My wife slaps me and I wake up from that dream. I've heard it. Guys say, yeah, I was wanting 8 children. I have 4. Got half. It's like, okay, well, what happens if you get 3? You get 1.5? I don't know. But getting on the same page. So many times I've seen it where mom and dad can't agree where the church is at. And that's how Satan uses a wedge, a foothold, if you will, inside that family and causes disgruntlement, or it seems like that family's more on the fringes. They're more on the fringes. They don't really help out. They don't really get involved because maybe mom believes this and dad believes this, and we kind of look down at the pastor because he disagrees with us, or maybe we don't agree with him on this, and it's sad. But that's the truth. That's what happens. That's exactly what happens. I know I'm right about this because I see it. I see it. And it's discouraging because when you fight together, Satan's defeated. He is. And you will have peace as a church. Yes, you will have to war again after you have peace, but there will be peace. Peace, goodwill toward all men. Amen. Fight in your youth. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Young men, if someone's making fun of you, beat them up. No, just kidding. There should be something inside of you that should want to fight as a young man. I didn't like if someone made fun of my mom, my dad. My dad can beat your dad up. Why don't we ever stand up to someone when they use the Lord's name in vain? Don't tell me you want to fight as a Christian if you can't defend the Lord. Fight while you're young. That should as a young man be one of the qualities you have, where someone says something, you say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it's like, what did you say? Or what did you do? No, not around me. Not around me. Isaac and I, we went to a gas station to get a drink. They got Code Red in a fountain drink. I love Code Red, and it's in a fountain drink over by the gas station down the road. It's great. But there's this guy in there, and he's talking to Isaac, and he says, hey, man, what are you doing July 4th? And I don't think Isaac heard him and didn't know he was talking to him. He said, hey, man, what are you doing July 4th? He said, oh, we're just chilling, you know, or just kind of having a July 4th. He's like, hey, man, yeah, I got some beer, you know, you want some beer or something like that? He's like, no, I don't do that kind of stuff. You fight. You fight against that kind of stuff. you don't let someone talk and then not respond. I think that's the biggest trouble we get into is, and I have to be careful of this. If people want to spout their opinion, you're going to get mine. If you're going to talk about that, because so much times is, you know, we just believe what we say sometimes. And if we're not corrected, we just tend to believe whatever we say. You know, this carpet is green. Wow, it looks green to me. And everybody else is thinking, no, it's blue, you moron. It's because it is blue. Okay, but nobody said it was. I just had to look at it myself, but I could just keep talking and say, hey, it's green. I love this green carpet. But until someone says something, I believe it's green. Is it green? Thank you, Brother Reiser. He helped me. He corrected me. You fight. Fight. Number one, you fight as you're younger. Then you don't quit fighting. Don't give up on fighting. Fighting brings peace. And number three, fight together. Fight together. Let me ask you this question before I close. Where have you been letting down? I'm not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit should be working in your heart. What have you been letting down in your life? What have you quit fighting? Have you gotten tired of fighting? Have you gotten tired of fighting in your life in an area? Maybe it's your marriage. Some are like, nope, I'm an expert at that. We fight all night long. It's great. I hope that's not the case. You know what? You might have some fights, get it resolved, but have you given up fighting in your marriage? Guess what? Be glad that you have a marriage that you still can fight in a way. You fight for that marriage. There's a lot of people that are divorced now that wish they could fight for it, wish they could have that back. You fight for that. Young person, are you fighting? Fighting for what's right? When you're out soul winning today, did you fight or did you just let people walk all over the gospel? Did you fight? Parents, are you fighting for your children's future? Or have you given up in an area? Have you let down your guard? Have you kind of said, you know what, I don't think we really need to do that anymore, or yeah, it's okay if they do this, and it's okay. Fight. Finish the good fight. You fight the good fight of faith. I've kept the faith, keeping the faith. Where have you let down at? Have you stopped fighting for those bus kids? Have you stopped fighting for that bus route of yours? Have you stopped fighting? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the example that we have here in the Bible about fighting. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a church that fights, Lord, for the right thing, number one, but also, Lord, to not quit fighting, not to get weary in well-doing. I pray you'll help us to fight Satan and his foes, Lord, because we know that one day you will come and you'll give account for how we fought. We love you, pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.